Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Knocked Conscious. Today, I had the pleasure of speaking with Valerie Durham. She's the president and CEO of Freedom Fest. It was a great conversation. Freedom Fest, July 10th through the 13th, 2024. Come to Las Vegas. It's Caesars. It's going to be a great time. Such a great conversation. Here it is. I hope you enjoy it. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Knocked Conscious. We are on take two. I have the honor and privilege of having the president and CEO of Freedom Fest with me today. Her name is Valerie Durham. Valerie, welcome so much to Knocked Conscious.
Thank you so much. I'm excited about this conversation. I'm getting all the tingly feels that are supposed to be happening here.
So if I may share my Freedom Fest story, I have
Please,
the craziest
I'm excited
one.
To hear so, it.
It's COVID, July 2022. It's the Mirage. My girlfriend and I live in Phoenix, so we drive up 5 to 6 times a year. We just happen to be up there. And we're going to Heritage. We're going to Colicchio's Heritage for a phenomenal prime rib, by the way. Best prime rib in the world.
Beautiful, yes.
they're whatever it is. The horseradish is ridiculous. Anyway, so we're there, and I bump into a gentleman named Kelly at the bar and find out that Freedom Fest is going on, and all of a sudden I see the names popping up, and I start looking around and seeing that, and I'm starting getting excited. My girlfriend's looking at me like I'm having a conniption or something. And I've had an awakening over the last probably handful of years, but it was just really intense for me because I was just like, it's about the liberty. It's about the freedom, right? So I just got very excited. Spoke with this gentleman for hours at the bar. My girlfriend's playing video poker right next to us. So we're still together, which is good.
Yeah.
But I looked at her and I swear I looked at her. I said, I'm going to be at this thing the next time it's in Vegas. So it comes up. I just happen to come across and see it. And I immediately picked the first 2 days. I'm like, I'll just go down for the first 2 days. And then I saw there was this media credential application. And I said, I've done media. So I applied. And lo and behold, you're gracious enough to accept my media application. And I'm very excited to actually do exactly what I said I was going to do 2 years ago. And without real effort. And we still have that ability to do that here. And it's like amazing that's the freedom. I was able to say 2 years ago, I'm going to do something and actually have that opportunity to do it.
So, that really is a beautiful thing. And I think that, you know, I think a lot about freedom and the intentionality around freedom and how so often it really is the focus, the drive, the action, you know, there's steps you took to make that happen too. But that intention setting, and I think a little too often we're too ready to, oh, woe is me and we can't get along and libertarians are herding cats and all this kind of stuff. But really, there is so much that's possible for creating freedom in our lives. And congratulations to you to making it happen. I guarantee you're going to love Freedom Fest. You're going to get so many opportunities to talk to people and interview people and hear from people you care about. I'm really excited for you to have
this. I'm beyond excited. I've started making a list. I'm actually going to reach out to your teams to see how else I can contribute with equipment and everything. Because like I said, I've got my car. I'm going to drive up and I've got all 4 days booked. So
is your girlfriend ready for this though? That's the real question.
Well, it's a funny story. She's actually coming up the first 2 days.
Okay.
And she has a conference, I think, the next day that she has to fly out for her teaching thing.
Oh, wow.
Which is a rare thing that never happens. So what we're actually planning is I'm going to drop her off at the airport in Vegas. She's going to fly to Phoenix and then fly out of Phoenix. Hey, we're going to make it work.
Listen,
I don't care.
Because,
you know,
that can't be just attitude. Like, I love it.
Just like freedom is intentionality, so is
That's
love.
Right.
Okay. Love it. It takes just as much effort and accountability, right?
And in all honesty, everyone who comes to Freedom Fest has that kind of can do, like they make it happen. You know, they figure out work, they figure out kids, they figure out all of that stuff because they recognize the value of talking about freedom, doing something about freedom. It really makes a difference to come together and have these conversations and then see what generates out of that. That's what's also super exciting. It's not just talking for no progress. Things come out of it, which is really awesome.
Such a beautiful thing. So you've been recently promoted to president and CEO. So you've come up through the ranks of Freedom Fest.
So to speak.
That bodes a simple question. What is Freedom Fest. How did you get to where this position, where this came?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And Freedom Fest is actually a fantastic story. So Freedom Fest is actually a family business. My mom and dad started Freedom Fest in 2002 when my dad was the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. And for the, or it's also known as FEE. And FEE is the oldest free market think tank in the United States, started in 1946 by Leonard Reed. And people like Ronald Reagan and Barry Goldwater and others were really involved at FEE. And then my dad became president in the early 2000s. And he noticed at that time that all of these groups were doing good work, but nobody was really talking to each other. It was a really siloed experience. You had businesses working towards freedom and coin dealers with hard money doing good things. And then you had Cato and Heritage and Manhattan and all these different groups, but there wasn't an opportunity to get together. So he created the FEE National Convention, or it became known as FEE Fest, in Vegas in 2002. And a few years later, after he had resigned from being the president, he took it back over, renamed it Freedom Fest, and continued to have it in Vegas. So I've been around it my whole life. It's a family business. I used to come to Freedom Fest, but it was awesome because I could just enjoy it. You know, I could just show up and, you know, enjoy some sessions and hang out in Vegas kind of thing. Super, super fun. And then in 2014, the previous conference director retired. And so I came on board. And it really changed my experience of Freedom Fest in every single possible way, except that now I get to be so involved in the love of creating an experience and a platform where so many different voices can come together and represent, I think, in a real life kind of tempest in a teapot almost, what freedom is supposed to be all over the place. People voluntarily coming together, collaborating, learning from each other. That's how it's supposed to be. I'll note that I didn't really know anything about, I've been to conferences, of course, I've been to Freedom Fest, I've been to investment conferences, things like that, but I'm actually a dancer in my passion training. And so I really drew on that, my experience of self-producing shows. And if you think about it, it's really kind of the same. You have a program, yeah. You have, you know, people that you hire to be in the dances, like speakers. You have to advertise and market. You have maybe a little reception after, so you've got your food and beverage. You know, you gotta do a little lighting, a little AV. So I had what the problem was. I didn't know anything about union contracts, hotel attrition.
It's a fire hose for a bit.
That was like a big learning curve.
The labor stuff is beyond, is really interesting because, like, let's be honest, the freedom stuff kind of simplifies labor a little bit. You know, with all those contracts, it makes it just. You know, the handshake doesn't work like it used to.
Right? No. And Vegas is a big business town. So you got to be on your game. Yeah.
You have to be in with the family. There is nepotism up and down the sheriff to the drudge to the everything. Oh, yeah. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. So I was in a cover band. Same thing. We were in cover, you know, in charge of all that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
The scheduling and, you know, the email list. Back in the day, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. As an artist, you have in this country in particular, you have to do it all. You have to be your, and I think it's interesting just to, you know, a little, because reconciling my libertarian side, my free market side with my artist side. I think it's a shame that so many artists don't, a lot of them think, oh, free, you know, capitalism, it gets a bad name and business. But really, it's great to be your own business person and that. Making your art its own business. And in all of our lives, we have to kind of treat our lives as a business and find a good way to make progress and to make money and to find success and to find an audience and customers and all that stuff. So it is.
Well, it's true freedom.
It is. It really is.
I mean, debt is the slavery of the newest millennium, right? So we know that when you owe someone something, you owe your life to them at this point. It's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this is a good way with parallel economies and just, you know, different things to expand and grow.
Absolutely.
Become self-sufficient, a little bit outside of that.
Mm-hmm. And
very nice.
A lot of that being discussed at Freedom Fest, which is really cool. So yes. Into all that, there are so many mechanisms being discussed and shared at Freedom Fest. So you can, if you're interested in learning more or learning that in particular, that's really present at the conference.
Such a beautiful thing. Well, thank you for sharing that. So tell us a little bit about how did the pleasure transition to that purpose for you? Because there must have been that growing pain where you like said, oh, I'm hanging out with all the cool people and this is fun. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, once again, it kind of speaks to the freedom part. There's a responsibility that either thrust upon you or that you take, you lift, you pick up the gauntlet, right? It's your time to carry it. How did you just naturally take that upon yourself? I mean, was it just because of the family pride or was it something internally you really felt?
Luckily I hear what you're, yeah. I think there's a family work ethic going on. But also I really believe in this mission and it's, believe it or not, we're a for-profit corporation. We're not a nonprofit. But we're like a mission-driven for-profit organization, which is, I actually think, a great thing. It's kind of that conscious capitalism, John Mackey approach to things. And so we deeply care about what we're doing. And we really feel like we're in service to the larger liberty movement. So what I found is that, yes, my role dramatically shifted from engaging in a more fun, lighthearted, easygoing kind of way, but I became deeply involved and that had its own satisfaction. And what I love is that number one, my job is incredibly varied. You know, I'm flying for a site visit one day, 2 days later, I'm doing a union contract. The next day I'm in negotiations with some big keynote speaker. A day after that, I'm looking at emails and social media and new video. And I have a great team that I work with. Most of them are family. The ones who aren't family, we kind of have to unofficially adopt. So there's deep respect and rapport. What I find with the family business is that rather than it being like petty and acrimonious and political, it's more like we deeply appreciate each other and we support each other through life challenges and things like that. And so that part is really great. But I get to engage with all of these major think tanks, organizations, grassroots organizations, campaigns, businesses that are doing incredibly cool things. I'm on the phone with them. I'm in Zoom calls with them multiple times a week. And I'm having all these different conversations. And that is incredibly rich and rewarding. And I'm getting to learn about them and put them in front of a Freedom Fest audience, you know, and then seeing where the magic happens. In fact, back in 2018, a man named Jeremy Corden came to Freedom Fest at the Paris in Las Vegas, and he was exposed to a company called Valorum. And Valorum is this really cool nanotechnology that embeds gold, real gold, into paper. And so Jeremy loved this idea. He came up with the idea of creating more official currency. He calls them goldbacks. And he launched a business which is now doing hundreds of millions of dollars. And you can actually, in places in Utah, Nevada, and elsewhere, actually pay with goldback. And actually, in the exhibit hall this year, people will be able to buy things and pay with goldbacks in our exhibit hall. So it's real hard money in currency that you can go to an Ace Hardware in Utah and pay with your goldback to pay with your gold. And that started and happened at Freedom Fest. And there are lots of other stories like that. So I feel super grateful that I get to be part of those people coming together.
Watching you light up, talk about it. That's why I wanted to ask, because I want to see that passion, because I think sharing that part of it, it's hard, because like once your eyes open to things, what's going on behind the scenes, once you see it, it like you get a cognitive dissonance that breaks your brain.
Yeah.
And then it breaks your heart. Because you got betrayed and then you kind of almost get dark pilled, but then you kind of got to get it back. You got to reel back in. You know what I mean? Like we're teetering with the current status of things. It's a very unique time. Freedom seems to be the way to go. And I love that goldback idea. So basically the concept is there's a gold amount in the paper that's equivalent to the paper's value.
Correct. And you can just carry it around with you. And it's incredible technology. And Valorum is still working. They're still negotiating big contracts all over the world, actually, to try to bring this. We were also talking about Bitcoin back in 2012. We started talking about Bitcoin.
And it was, I remember when it was $300 at a Bitcoin ATM machine in Phoenix, Arizona, at a Circle K. There was one of them. And I drove by it every day going, do I have $300 to buy one of these things? I didn't. I absolutely did have the money, because we all have the means. We just had to make it happen, right? Talk about that. We all have the means. We just had to figure out how to make it happen correctly. But I didn't. And many, many tens of thousands of dollars later, right? Please continue about the Bitcoin.
We were like, what is this? And should we even talk about it? And yes, we should. And I remember a couple of years later, we were selling things and this guy showed up and was like, I just was able to buy this Coke for 12 Bitcoin. And we think about that now. Like, he was so proud. 12 Bitcoin for a Coca-Cola.
$840,000.
I don't even know if that guy is still alive.
Inflation.
it's really cool. We were talking about drug legalization, and again, right as I was coming on board, it was still like, and now that's so completely shifted. The thing
at all, not even a little bit.
You're not sad about that.
No, I know nothing about it. It pretty much helped pretty much every bone in my body. Sure, let's not talk about that.
This
legalization. You have a mock trial that talked about legalization. Do you have a mock trial this year? And is it about drug legalization, or is it a different?
It's different every single year. And this year we're discussing it, because one of the things we're doing this year that's really different, I'm super excited about, is that we are bringing all of the major independent third-party presidential candidates to Freedom Fest for a big debate that we are pushing out. We're partnering with
Free Equal Elections. I spoke with one of them. I hope, yes.
Yep.
I hope he's there. I hope he's there.
He will be. We're working on it. We're negotiating with everybody right now. And what's so exciting about that is, I think we've seen this broken duopoly and there are so many people who identify as independent. You don't have to identify as libertarian or Green Party or what. There are just so many people out there who don't feel like their needs and their philosophy and their life is being addressed by the Democrats or the Republicans, and also don't appreciate this power play that's going on that really squashes all of our lives. But who is speaking to the independent voter? There is not enough of a robust news outlet. There are attempts at it, but really it's a lot of people like you who have these realizations and are kind of talking in that space. So we want to make sure that that is presented in a really robust way. So it's going to be a full 2-hour presidential debate broadcast out on multiple platforms, media services, and it's going to be strong and powerful. And what I hope is that people get the message that there are other ideas out there. It is not just a Republican or a Democrat philosophy, and that we have things to learn, that there are other ways of looking at governance, and that we should be listening to those other ways, and that voting for the lesser of two evils is not the way to gain freedom, success, or anything else. It's not a wasted vote to vote for someone you actually align with. And if enough people start doing that and give up on that tired rhetoric, we can make actual major change and affect people's lives in positive ways. And that makes me also really excited. Now, if we still do a mock trial, because that's taking up a lot of our main stage time, I think we're gonna have it on AI.
Oh, shocking! I thought you were gonna do border, because border.
We've
on
done border.
X just okay, because border on crazy. X is just blown up over the. It's the one that puts libertarians in some kind of, you talk about herding cats.
And so we have our mock trial. We also have tons of debates. So even things that we don't put into the mock trial, like putting religion on trial or putting the Republican Party on trial or U.S. foreign policy on trial. We've done all of those things. Public school system, unions,
You need all that good music in the...
Part of me wants to put the Mideast peace process on trial because, my gosh, like, how many years are we going to be failing at this thing? And how many different parties can be involved and just have this chaos and conflict? It's like, really, people, like, I understand there's generations and deep, you know, differences, but really, as human beings, we cannot come to some sort of resolution so that people aren't being bombed and killed and starved. And it's horrible, horrible. So that's another one so we'll definitely have a debate on that. In fact, Emily Austin is coming and she's been really delving into this topic. And so she's bringing a lot of experts on both sides to really have the debates are interesting at Freedom Fest because we do it in a civil, open debate forum. If you want people screaming at each other, go somewhere else. That's not what Freedom Fest is about.
It's about an exchange of ideas for sure, from what I've understood.
Exactly right. So we want reasonable people who can listen and respond rather than yell and scream. And then we leave it open to the audience, to the attendees, to hear something new, absorb it. Maybe you're confirmed in what you already believe, but maybe you learn something new and you shift. And, we're trying to move towards truth and we're trying to move towards more freedom. And we want multiple voices coming in because sometimes hearing what you don't agree with helps you move towards freedom and truth. And sometimes hearing something new you didn't know or never thought about before helps you move towards freedom and truth. So we're a pretty big tent at Freedom Fest. We bring in a lot of diverse ideas and people, and that's pretty cool too.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, you're a dancer, so you're an artist.
Yeah.
You speak with, I saw Ice-T on the list, for example.
Yes,
but I also saw Steve Pinker, for example.
That's right.
So I grew up listening to Ice-T, so that's my wheelhouse. I mean, it's...
Love it.
I ain't no joke. about that, so when you speak to all these different ways, because genius comes in many different forms. There can be the intel, like a rationalist, like a Pinker, is not the genius of an Ice-T.
Correct.
It's just, there's a creative, it's like you convert, Thomas Sowell always talked about, there's only trade-offs, right? There's no solutions, right? So you trade off a little maybe intellect here for creativity here, or a little openness for a little this. So we all have a little bit of that in our personality. So you come across all these. Which people, your father was an economist, so you as an artist, your father an economist, which types of thinkers come across your desk when you see it that like really just dings? Is it an artist, an economist, is it a physicist? Like what's your hobby? Like when you see when you associate with like a subject of some sort? I ask the deep questions. I don't mess around here, Val.
That's great. That's awesome. So, when I've done different brain tests, I always come out as right-brained as I am left-brained and as visual as I am auditory.
You're smacked. So that.
I'm like, my brain is always like right in the center. Like where are you when you're, so I respond, like I adore Neil deGrasse Tyson, Carl Sagan. I really love physics. But I'm also a total artist and really respond to a Robert Heinlein or a Banksy and I'm pretty diverse in that area. My favorite book that I've ever read, I have two. So, of course, I love Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead, which is about an artist, but an architect, because he has all his engineering, too. So it's kind of both. And then my other favorite book is Art and Physics by Leonard Schlain.
Okay.
And what I love about that book is that Professor Schlain goes through and analyzes all human art And his hypothesis, or he postulates that every art movement precedes a major development in physics. And that you can see by the development, and particularly he analyzes visual art, painting, drawing, and sculpture, that in those art forms, it was precognitions.
I actually get that right now. I could probably draw up that thesis right now.
It's amazing. And it, what I loved about it is it helped me understand different movements, and it helped me understand different physics concepts by bringing those two things together. And so that, like, both of those light me up.
Because the art, well, the art would be an expression of some kind of pattern recognition in life, right? So you're now expressing that. And the scientist does use patterns and probably sees the emotion of the art, right? Mm-hmm. Who's the person who was moved when he saw the three streams coming down, who, like, invented, was it like in vitro fertilization or something?
Yeah. I know. Yes.
Right. And he's like, became instantly spiritual.
Television. I'm trying to think of his name. He's got a really cool name, but he was out in the farm and he saw these rows out in the field. And that's what made him think of the rows that are in the television. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. The IP, the in-plane switching. Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned Heinlein. I happen to have Heinlein on my Libby right
there
now.
There you go. All right. Sweet.
So, and I do audiobooks because the reading doesn't work. Jive so good with my brain. But so the physics thing, that you and I align then very much so, because, like, I have conversations, like, I had Brendan Brown of Wheatus on, the guy from Teenage Dirtbag a couple months ago, right? Such a nice, just a nice friendly conversation, just opened up a conversation. So it's, like, beautiful. And then you have a scientist, like I had Jeff Hester on, who was the person who took the first picture of the Hubble telescope.
Oh, my God.
So.
That's like, so cool.
I'll happily connect you with, he's in Arizona. So it's like one of those things where it's funny how this works, because how it's weird, because Freedom Fest is or just that idea of freedom has opened up. You just ask someone for a conversation and someone grants it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. And like, when, you know, it's a crazy thing, and it completely shrinks the world.
Yes.
There's so much more about the world that we need to figure out and expose using our expression of speech so that we can fix those things that are going behind the scene.
And that's actually one reason I really believe in listening to other people. And so I was in graduate school for dance a few years ago, got my MFA. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Motherfucker. Okay. So I'm an MF and artist.
Sailor, you're good. You're good. No worries.
So, but what was so interesting, you know, I'm a libertarian, and probably everyone else was liberal, progressive, Democrat. But of course, as a libertarian, I actually agree on several, you know, some social aspects and things like that. And what I really came to appreciate was how, you know, listening to people and their concerns, and rather than just rejecting their concerns, you know, I think being concerned about homelessness is quite a important thing. The question is, how do you solve it? And the reality is that using freedom and collaboration and free market is such a better way to solve our healthcare problems. To the extent that climate change is or isn't happening is, to me, less relevant than the question of, are we good stewards of our resources and our earth? Do we have this beautiful earth?
And can we be smart enough to adapt as a species to the changes that are upcoming?
Yes. And
smart enough, I'm going to tell you, an asteroid is not climate
change. Smart enough to get our DNA and our cells off of this planet.
And not even just off of the planet, out of the solar system. Because remember, the sun's going to eventually go too, right? So. Turtles all the way up, right? Not just all the way down. Turtles all the way up. So to your point, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a philosophy of how we get to the problems that we solve.
That's right.
It was so interesting.
I like to listen to what other people are concerned about, and rather, I feel it, you know, and also this either or kind of thing. Like, either we have to care about the spotted owl, or we have to help farmers irrigate their, you know, farms. I just don't understand. I'm a yes and. Okay.
The binary thinking has gotten just absolutely out of control.
It's horrible.
I mean, my desire to say killing innocent children isn't good doesn't make me anti or pro anything other than children not getting killed. Like, I can't express that nuance any clearer than that yet. Both sides of that, you're getting torn apart. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And the default to, if you disagree with me, you're horrible, you're rotten, you're evil, you want someone to die. And I just feel like we have lost the art of being able to disagree agreeably and also really be willing to listen to something else. And not that you have to agree, but even in the listening and the understanding, like I said, it can help you refine your own position more or grow in your, it's just way better. And I just wish more people would like do it.
Absolutely. And to that point, there's an interesting conversation. Which one is that? Modern Wisdom with Chris Williamson, but it's another podcast, the Diary of a CEO.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
He had an hostage negotiator on.
Wow.
And when you listen to him, he goes, it's about empathy. Mm-hmm. And people conflate empathy with compassion.
Yes.
And those are very different things. Yeah. And he goes like this. He goes, what made me a great negotiator is I can walk into a situation and tell that person what they're feeling about the situation. Mm. That is empathy. Mm-hmm. Compassion would be agreeing with him in how to get out of it. Thing. And that doesn't, those two things do not, and we can use that in a very woke certain cult thing that we talk about is if you come to me as a human being and you want to be called X, Y, or Z, I, as a human being and as a loving person to someone who I care about, who wants that from me, I will offer that to that person. But there is no way that you're going to tell me that you are something that you're not, for example, right? So these are both exist and they both are part of the non-aggression. They're not, neither of those things can both exist.
That's in time right.
Without there being a need for a solution. Right.
So and that's another great example of the yes. And, you know, it's like, yes, I can be respectful and I can disagree about something really fundamental. And I don't have to buy into everything. I can keep, you know, a sense of reality, this kind of stuff.
Try. At least our own, our own, right? It's good in our own vacuum.
And it's interesting what we're talking about here. That's one of the reasons we do themes every year at Freedom Fest. And we've had a lot of really fun themes. We've had Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Are We Rome? Exploring New Frontiers. We had William Shatner come that year. That was really fun. but this year, our theme is Brave New World. And for those who don't know, that's a 1932 book by Aldous Huxley. That's very one of these dystopian kind of future in the vein, a little bit of like a 1984, you know, kind or Fahrenheit 451 kind of thing. But, you know, it just feels like there are so many things happening technologically and socially where there's a question, you know, are we entering kind of a brave new world kind of mentality? And in some cases, that brave new worldness, like there's something I wish we were entering, not his version of a brave new world.
No, for sure. Right.
But the idea of having like something new and bold that's positive and helpful would be great. Like, and that's why we want to have this AI debate. Is AI going to lead us? Like, let me tell you, basically no science fiction book, movie, anything ever positive about AI. It's never been
I'm
good.
Sorry, Dave.
It
I just
a cautionary
can't
tale.
I just can't do that, Dave. Yeah, I'm very familiar. It is I grew up in the 80s watching every sci-fi, 70s and 80s growing up watching every sci-fi movie. Not a single one ended well. I mean, even Luke
Skynet is this, not good.
And they won. Okay. Yeah. Come on. That wasn't that great.
And yet here it is. It is with us. It is in. I am getting messages every day from Google Gemini. Let me write your emails. Let me write your everything, you know. And changing the photos. Oh my gosh, it's like
And as different as we are as a species, we all have similar triggers, and they are patterns. And that's all AI is, just an enhanced pattern churner.
Right.
And it knows what buttons to push, and it already is doing it.
It already is doing it.
It's very scary. It's got to be. It's weird. I'm a future. I love the future. I love technology, but that kind of thing is not.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous for sure.
Yeah, and it's also with the biohacking. I mean, everything going on with the vaccines, with reproduction, with.
We can talk about all that if you like. Yeah, please.
We
feel free
can. To share. It's an interesting topic, and that's why these kinds of nuanced conversations. That's another thing we really try to have at Freedom Fest. Like, how do you talk about, you know, transgenderism, the rights of people who are transgendered and the rights of people who are not? And when is that right and that transition correct and proper? Who do we protect? Who do we, you know, it's.
When is the pursuit of happiness infringed on the 5149 side, right? I mean, that's really the balance that we constantly fight.
It also reminds me of the question around freedom of expression and the cancel culture thing. And I have to say, you know, as much as, like, on the one hand, very much against cancel culture and this attitude of, like, I can't hear something and therefore it should not exist. And I think we got away from understanding what cancel culture actually means, and that there's a difference between saying I don't like something and therefore it should not exist and using power to make sure it doesn't exist, versus as a user being able to decide what I do and do not want, even as a company, even as a corporation. And that's why that whole social media conversation is really important. Is that a private company that has rights in that way? Are they providing so much of a social platform, public platform, that they lose? It's such an interesting, but
it doesn't become a utility like an electricity or
that's right,
a water work, right. Or but as a libertarian, I would assume you'd want to privatize that eventually, right? So we've kind of moved, we kind of can
and
move
look
those.
What we have
right,
Rumble
right,
coming up,
sure.
We had Parler,
absolutely, yeah, for sure.
You know, so we have. As long as the technology is available and you don't have someone coming in and shutting that down. And I think that triggered a lot of people to say, this is not right, even if I don't agree. But at the same time, you know, there are a lot of channels on television and they're all out there able to, but I don't have to watch what's on that station. I'm not forced to, just because it exists, just because Rachel Maddow was talking. Didn't mean I had to turn to that station and listen.
Mine was Jerry Springer. Come on, that was the one. Because before cancel culture, I grew up in the day, it was called Vote With Your Dollar.
Yeah.
Bud Light is how cancel culture happens. Mm. Bud Light is how cancel culture happens. They just said, I just won't buy your PB beer anymore. Or whatever, right. Whatever they said. I'm not going to speak again. You know, I can't speak for that because I drink it in the first place, but regardless of that, but that was it. It was, you voted with your dollar. And I remember people about Jerry Springer. It's like, change the channel. It won't get commercial sponsorship. It will go off the air.
Right.
It's very simple, everybody. And I just watched, and I'm going to go out of my mind, because I just watched a very short bit of Howard Stern, of all people, licking the boots of Joe Biden. Are you kidding me? I grew up in the whole era of his brazen anti-authority, thumbing his nose, going extreme. Yeah, he did it like raunchily. It's the way you could do it back then. It was the way to fight back, because they were even going against like Billy Joelsons back then.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The 70s, you know? I mean, come on. So I looked at that time and I get so frustrated when I watch a man who many people admire to become who they are. Watch this mask-wearing, hypochondriac, lock himself in a room, like almost Howard Hughesian type figure.
Yeah.
Who can speak kindly of Joe Biden, who was in the Klan with Tipper Gore and James Baker's wife trying to censor music in the '80s. Are you really, are we really there? We don't have a memory.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true. And it becomes intentional
to your point.
Yes.
Intentional.
I get off on that's okay. I love it because I think what's in now, not that people can't grow and evolve, but hopefully they grow and evolve towards like, we appreciate greater consciousness, you know, kindness and truth and freedom and openness to people. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of like Rage Against the Machine and when the pandemic was happening and they're like, everybody's got to have their vax cards.
I was in Philadelphia when they just stood naked for a half hour with the noise playing for a half hour. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Rage.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny how they broke up. Just a funny story about that. I think Zach, whatever, is like, oh yeah, I actually believe in this stuff or whatever. Like some like really radical stuff. And they're like, oh, you do? And they all kind of just took a step to the right and he just stayed there.
Yeah.
They kind of broke off. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Last year we had Winston Marshall from Mumford and Sons at Freedom Fest. And, he was basically kicked out of the band for speaking out and kind of agreeing with something online. And then it was like not okay. And it was like this whole big explosion. And the way that his bandmates and fans and everything came down on him for expressing an opinion, he talks about that now. But it is interesting, like just heading back to the arts, the one we are trying to bring creativity and the arts back into the libertarian and liberty movement, because I really do feel like so much of what people understand and where they create their meaning and their belief system comes from education and from media, and like not journalism media, but like media meaning films and art.
To take a broader step, it's actually story. It's just story.
That's a great
narrative, way to say. Right? Whether it's poem, music, right. Music is just story brought to song, yep. Right? Yep. So it just attacks two senses, right?
Yes.
You've got your word, spoken word, also attacks two senses, the way you inflect and things like that. So these things very much touch the human and the emotion through story.
Right.
If I may share a quick story about how I'm even here. I mean, this is just absolutely amazing. I was born in Philadelphia. My parents were both German. They were both born in Germany.
Okay.
My father was born in 1940 in Hamburg. Not a great place at that time. My mom was born in 1944, but her father was a soldier in the German army. You know, that group of people that who we don't Voldemort their names.
Yes.
But so he was an anti-aircraft gunner and, they were in what actually, so they served, my whole family served under Hitler. I mean, my parents were born under Hitler's rule.
Wow.
That's just a fact.
Yeah.
In Germany, not in America, like in Germany under Hitler. So after the war, they broke up Germany, right?
Yep.
Guess who's lucky enough to be under Stalin next? My grandfather and my mother, right? My father's in Hamburg, but,
okay.
And he lost a child from malnutrition. He lost a sibling from malnutrition, obviously, from the war. You know, obviously, surprising only one. They had five of them, you know. It's like surprising only one passed, you know. Yeah. But so now we go from Hitler to Stalin.
Mm.
Okay, so you want to talk about ideology. They're the same ideology, just used differently, right? If we can't realize that, it's all just authoritative nature. That's all it is. So then they escape East Germany in 1953. They actually come over before the wall gets up. The crazy story about that, I did a podcast with my mom about it. They come and some person completely unknown to my grandfather. My grandfather writes this guy in Philadelphia. He's a German barber. And my grandfather asked to be sponsored, his wife and two children.
Wow.
The guy agrees. This is America, right? This is 1950. It's a German American who saw value in this family, knowing that this person and trusting that he would be a trustworthy person to do it. However, he sold it back then. Comes across, and you know how it works with sponsorship. If this person has debt, if my grandfather has debt or a crime, this other person's accountable for basically everything. So I have a very specific border thought. I don't know if it's complete, but it's definitely has, you know, what we're seeing is not what it is. So my parents go from, you know, from Hitler to Stalin to, I guess, Eisenhower, just post Eisenhower. Yeah. I mean, and then we go, and then he talks, warns about the military industrial complex, and then we start. And we start with Korea, Vietnam, down the road, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up knowing that Hitler's bad, sure, but I definitely know that communism's bad because my mom did not like that. So yeah, that was definitely something I was going to fight at every bit. Mm-hmm. I grew up, I enlisted at 17. I was 9/11. I was in bed. I had 102 fever when 9/11 happened. I remember that. And I remember 1992. This is obviously, I didn't enlist because of 9/11. This is after, but I'm 92, before college, I enlisted. And I was going to be a good American, do the GI Bill, pay for college, do the whole thing. I was in. I took the ASVAB, did the thing. I get through the physical. I get through the 3-hour physical. I get to the last guy, and I had a bad car accident when I was younger. So he's like, oh, you had this accident, your leg's shorter, you fail. And I'm like, I was devastated that I couldn't be part of this. And then this stuff happens with Iraq, and I'm all in. 16, I was, Kuwait was 16 for me. So Iraq and all that. Oh, my gosh, man. I had Saddam the Scuds for You T-shirt. I remember we were Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts or something. Uh-huh. And when you're in and you don't know anything else, and that's all you know, everything, you know, when it's a hammer, everything's a nail. So it's not even an ideology. It's your culture, right? It literally is how you live every minute of your life.
That's right.
And then you hear about the WMDs and the yellow cake uranium and all this stuff, and the Colin Powell, and watching that guy just. And then you watch like Jon Stewart go about the vaccine on Stephen Colbert, totally let the cat out of the bag. Then he gets hit and gets like nicked for it. Then he does a bootlicking thing with Condoleezza Rice and Hillary Clinton to make up for it. It's like, there's no integrity. It's like I learned information that changed my mind because I'm principled.
Yeah.
And what this was wrong. Mm-hmm. We got lied to. Yeah. We didn't need to do it, right? So it's just that, right? It's a simple principle thing versus this back and forth. So this is why I love that you have this type of convention available every year. Yeah. So thank you for providing that for us.
It is a great honor. And, you know, one of the things that I love about it is that we approach freedom as a 360 life experience. So political freedom is very important. And we talk about political freedom a lot. But it's not everything. You need economic freedom, financial freedom, health freedom, educational and intellectual freedom, expressive and creative freedom, spiritual freedom, psychological freedom. Let me tell you, the first place everyone needs to experience freedom is to do self-analysis and figure out where your own limiting beliefs are and figure out how to propel your life. You know, Harry Brown wrote a book back in the day called How to Live Free in an Unfree World. And Gandhi and Jesus and many others and the Buddha all figured out that the first place you have to get free is in your own mind and in your own spirit and your own soul. And so that's part of what we're also trying to address there by having these different conversations, meeting with different people, engaging on this. It helps get you out of this concept that one way of looking at things is the only way to look, you know, and that there are so many different elements that we have access to. So that broadening of your thinking and your understanding of freedom is hugely important in your personal life, which is where I think we all need to start, then your family, your business. Those are the places we can have the most influence. You know, you start a great business that helps people achieve financial freedom, helps them achieve then health freedom, help their children go to maybe get schooling for the first time. That breaks, as long as they don't go to the wrong school and get a bunch of student loans. But then, of course, we don't have to pay our student loans back anymore anyway. So that's
we won't have to in a couple of years. We're buying votes
so,
now.
So never mind about that. But, you know, like I'm just saying, you know, that's they feed us the hype, man, you know, and the hype is there and the problems are there and all that. But in addition to addressing the big problems, you gotta address your own life issues first and foremost. And so if we keep doing that, I think that's where we kind of meet and grow freedom from both ends. You can't stay totally myopic, but you also can't always be like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling and doom and gloom and, you know, everything's horrible.
I mean, the first person that comes to mind is like a Jordan Peterson right now when you're talking about the, you know, the balance, right? We talk about the chaos and the order.
Yeah.
You need chaos, and that's the art. That is, to your point, that is when you talk about that art revolution preceding some intellectual revolution, there is some synchronicity that lines that. And when you get that chaos to grow, it's great. But you do need to order to be anchored, because if you float away, you can't get back to the tether. We're at that kind of borderline area. And Camilla Paglia has talked about this, gender changes and whatnot. And it's interesting. I'll say it, Douglas Murray's name, but he's been recently I've not been a great fan of his. But you know what? This is the other thing. To your point, not everybody's great. Not everybody's evil. We got to be very careful to have these heroes.
Things we can learn from people. Because
they're going to let you down in some way, right? And I don't mean that in a bored, bad way. I just mean everybody's human. No one's a god. Everyone's human, right? So like a Douglas Murray who can share that type of great thing does his other thing about this other stuff, right? But Camille Paglia is one of those ones that I only came into this whole just thing maybe 5-10 years ago, and it's just now it's drinking from the fire hose, you know? I have 3 podcasts on at all times, and if I hear something, one of them, I'll pause the other two and just listen to that little portion and rewind.
Wow, you have a Thomas Jefferson brain or something.
I'm trying to catch up. I've got a lot of catching up to do because I'm very much, and I know conceptually the things. I'm just not good with the verbiage. So you talk about a Heinlein or a Spoon or you know, it's about it. I mean, I know obviously Ron Paul, and I love, you know, I know Rand and obviously Massey and all that, but
yeah.
So in that. Back to Freedom Fest. Let's talk about some of these great guests you're going to have. So you love science, and you have some scientists. Tell us about some of the guests. I'd love to hear you share about that.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, no, we get about, I would say, 250 to 300 guests at Freedom Fest, honestly. So guest speakers. And then I honestly consider our exhibitors a huge part of the experience and the lineup and the content as well.
Let's give them a shout out.
Let's go with speakers. So this year, our headliners, as you mentioned, Ice-T and Steven Pinker. We have both of them coming. And along the same lines as Steven Pinker, we also have Lord Matt Ridley, who is coming. And of course, he has written amazing things on innovation and progress. He's got a new book out. I believe it's called Virus. So he's addressing the issues around the pandemic. Tom Woods is also going to be there, and he's written a book about the pandemic as well. So we're going to have a really interesting session with some pretty deep conversation about lessons learned on many levels coming out of that.
Many levels.
We're super, super, super excited that President Javier Milei was like, I'm coming to Freedom Fest. I want to come to Freedom Fest. So he's coming, and that is just super exciting because he is an absolute rock star, like literally and metaphorically.
And a third party choice, right? What a shock.
In Argentina, you mean?
Right, in Argentina, of course, right? That's what
absolutely.
I mean. Like, and he was a third party choice to the first point you're making about having a third choice. I'm looping it back around. So that's how the brain works. I go A to J to B to Z to 4 to Q to Sigma to whatever other Greek alphabet letter you can find.
Oh, gosh, that's awesome. So Justin Amash is coming this year. He's running for Senate in Michigan. Sean Nelson is coming. He is the CEO of Lovesac, the furniture company. And it actually started with like these really cool bean bags back in the day. But he is a prominent entrepreneur, really cool guy. And he's going to share a lot of super, super interesting things. Emily Campagno from Fox News is coming.
Going to be talking about classic cars with her.
Yeah, good.
Got the Mustang, right? I think she's got a 72 Mustang, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, what a great one. That's a really good year for the Mustang.
I got a 67 Bonneville.
Wow,
it's gorgeously hideous. So it's like a blue car. I'll send a picture to you, but I'm working on it still. I'm still working.
And great friend of ours, one of our ambassadors, Spike Cohen, who always gives an amazing speech on our stage, is super impassioned. He's a great advocate for freedom, and we love hearing from him. John Mackey, the former CEO and founder of Whole Foods, will be with us. We actually have Governor Joe Lombardo from Nevada coming to Freedom Fest this year to welcome us. And what's really cool about that is you mentioned, 2022. Well, back in 2020, we were planning the event. This is kind of funny. So we always plan our themes. And that year in 2019, we had come up with this great idea, Catch the Vision. You know, catch the vision of freedom, catch the vision of liberty, catch the vision of independence, catch the vision. And we had this cute, image of a little girl reaching for a firefly in a forest. It was beautiful and amazing. And then 2020 comes along and we have the pandemic, and all of a sudden catch the vision makes you feel like, kind of catch the virus. So it's the timing on this.
It's like catching the ick. That's not a good one.
Not a good one. But we were pushing ahead. We were determined to have Freedom Fest. And actually, Caesars was working. We were supposed to be at Caesar at Paris, and then we moved to Caesar's Palace. And they were just letting us spread out. And they were like, okay, you have to have 200 people, 250 people per room. And so we're like, okay, how do we have a general session with a couple thousand people? Like, we're satelliting. And finally, Governor Sisolak of Nevada at the time was one of these really restrictive governors. And he pulled it back to 50 people per room, something like that. And we had, a few thousand people signed up. It's like, how can you even have an exhibit hall with 50 people or whatever? And so they were supposed to expand it. They didn't. And he just really shut it down. And we ended up not being able to have the event that year. And so we really appreciate that Governor Lombardo has such a completely different view, and he's so much more, pro-business and pro-openness and anti-shutdowns and mandates and all that. So we're excited to have him there, just as kind of like a take that, Governor Sisolak, former Governor Sisolak, for shutting us down. Michael Shermer of Skeptic Magazine is one of our, he comes back almost every year, and he's amazing. And really is able to, he'll be having actually a conversation with Steven Pinker that I think is going to be really
cool.
Yeah, amazing.
Wow, that's going to be awesome.
It will be. Maj Touray is another one of our ambassadors Black Guns Matter. Love him. Larry Sharp with the Sharp Way.
I follow him on X. Yeah.
He's so cool. And the thing I love about Larry is
he's from Philadelphia, I think, right? I think he is.
He might be from there, but he's in New York now, and he's run for
governor. Oh, he's in New York now. Okay.
And just somebody who gets it, gets the idea of outreach and bringing people together so that we can make progress together. So we really love Larry. Steve Forbes is coming. Robert Kiyosaki. Baron Baptiste, who is the founder of Power Yoga. In fact, his parents opened the first major yoga studio on the West Coast back in the 1950s. And we're responsible for really introducing mainstream yoga in the United States in the 20th century. So he's coming.
Very nice.
And I'll just give a little hint.
Hint.
So don't shoot me if it's we're on the verge of confirming Rob Schneider to be here as part of our comedy festival.
He can do it. If you need a Rob Schneider impersonator, I can do all of the Rob Schneiders. It's very... that's a gentleman I can honestly say I did probably 2 360s on in my life. You want to talk about finding out where that person sits on the scale, because you think about the comedy and you're like, he's a supporter, so how much comedy did he really contribute? And then you're like, he did contribute, but then he had this thing, and then he goes here and he goes there, and it's like, was he this way? And then he shifts, and then he has something happen, and then he changes his mind, and then they all attack him, and you're like, wait a minute, everybody's attacking him, why is everybody attacking him now? This doesn't sound right. So this is how everything happens in my head. Mm-hmm. So
I see. That's why you could listen to three podcasts at once. I can see.
I apologize in advance for my scatterbrain nature, but there is pattern recognition in there somewhere. I swear. I figure out stuff.
You're bringing it together. I love it.
You mentioned Spike Cohen, if I may. Just because we're on this podcast, and I want to share Spike Cohen's stuff, as I follow him as well, and he had a phenomenal gun debate with David Hogg, yeah. a couple weeks ago.
He did.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I don't want to get into that, but Spike did quite well and is very well spoken. So he
is a great spokesperson for Liberty. Probably one of our best right now. He is, and one of the nicest people to deal with, and just a really strong and phenomenal guy. So that is just the tip of the iceberg of people coming to Freedom Fest.
Right.
And we are adding, probably through June, we'll continue to add speakers. So go to freedomfest.com, look at the speaker list, and you'll just see tons of people that you know. And tons of people you don't know and should know and are going to be excited about. So, and we'll keep adding more keynote level speakers as well. So it's going to be pretty awesome. In terms of exhibitors, oh my gosh, what I love about our exhibitor space is that it's pretty equally divided amongst the best, think tanks, grassroots organizations, nonprofits, but also a lot of businesses and that are doing good things to bring more freedom to your life, whether it's through financial things or sustainability, like living off the grid stuff, Bitcoin things.
So like practical things.
Really practical things.
You can take out of the vacuum of this perfect world utopia and actually apply it to your life.
We've got, medical innovations that are, clearing up multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's and all kinds of things. And they're having to do all of that outside of the FDA. And so they're, working in other countries and they're putting together these great treatments and showing amazing results for people. We've got artwork. We've got, Ed Choice is coming. We have the Libertarian Party, of course. We have PERC, which is the Protection of the Educational Rights of Children. Goldback, as I mentioned, with the Orem, Universal Coin. So they'll have like all of these beautiful gold coins. We have several coin dealers who are coming, and that's really amazing. Young Americans for Liberty, the big student organization that really promotes libertarian thought, will be there. American Institute for Economic Research, Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty, Crime Prevention Research Center, Decriminalizing Sex Work will be there, along with Woodhull Foundation, which is also dedicated to sexual freedom and sexual rights. Oh my gosh, what else? Home Tribe, which is a homeschooling resource system. Trying to think what else.
I love the excitement.
It's like keep it so coming. Much. Stand it's, together.
That's why I'm Stephanie, just hanging on. I'm like, just keep feeding. Yeah.
Unjected, which is a really cool social media platform for people who refuse the vaccine, who want to find each other in love and in social things. So that's Unjected, which is really cool. Strive is coming. Young Voices. Oh, gosh. Fire, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. Frontiers of Freedom, the Future of Freedom Foundation, the Libertarian Christian Institute, Mises Institute, Turning Point USA, Voices for Consumer Choice, and the list is huge. Epic Cash, Learn to Invest, Robox, Rogue in White Blue Clothing. And then we have a bunch of media that's going to be there, too. We'll have groups like yours, the Sam Sorbo Show, the Bart Show podcast, Epoch Times, Reason TV will be there, Living and Aging with Pride. And that will keep growing more and more over the next little while as well. Real Estate Guys will be there. So, yeah, our major sponsor is an amazing group called Iron Light. And they partner with us. They do incredible mission-driven marketing. So they're really helping to foster a great sense of passion and success for really good organizations that are doing good work and good businesses that are doing good work. So we're really excited to be working with Iron Lake too.
That's amazing. It just sounds like a full breadth, height, width, and depth of everything.
You go into that exhibit hall and you just feel the buzz and everybody's it's like all the, like, there are people you know, and you're like, oh, I always wanted to meet people from that organization. And you can go actually meet them and go have coffee together and go get a drink and sit down and talk. And then there's another group next to them you've maybe never heard of. And you're like, that is so freaking cool that you're doing XYZ. Like, tell me more. And then you get involved. And that's another thing I love about our attendees is that not only are they passionate about freedom, but they come to Freedom Fest to really learn, really engage, figure out how they can make money, make their lives better, you know, meet like-minded people, meet speakers. And that's another cool thing is that so many of our speakers like are there as part of their attending the conference. Like Steve Forbes comes and he comes the entire time. He goes, you'll like sit next to him in a breakout session on something. You're like, hey, Steve, how's it going? He's like, oh, I'm doing very well. Again, it's totally Steven, nice guy. You. And he'll be like, what do you think of this presentation? You know, you can have a little conversation with him. He's so nice.
Great. I'm so excited to go. I'm like, I'm this jazz. So
yeah. Don't plan not to sleep too much. Because we have all of our sessions during the day, but then in the evenings, first of all, you're in Vegas. Second of all, you're going to meet a ton of people. Third of all, we have receptions, we have jam sessions, we have karaoke, we have yoga in the morning, we have parties. It's like, you know, we have our comedy show, we have the Anthem Film Festival. So there's a whole film festival that goes throughout the entire conference where you see all the latest movies that are devoted to principles around liberty, shorts, long form narratives and documentaries with panels. The filmmakers are there. That's like, if you care about movies, that is, and it comes with your Freedom Fest pass. So, you can just, you know, decide what you want to go see and check it out first before anyone else can see it.
That's awesome. I'm actually gonna have to schedule, cause I'm a one man operation. I got to figure this out somehow.
Yeah. So like, when are you
going to have to either multiplicity myself
or
something else? You know, a copy of a copy is not quite as sharp as the original. Yeah. You don't want a copy of a copy of me. Trust me. You don't want that. That's we're already off a couple.
First generation.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much. I remember actually the last time we were there at Mirage in the evening, we were at Rum Bar, and that place started packing up good there one night. So
yeah.
Well, if there's anything else you'd love to share, once again, Freedom Fest.
We actually have a code for you, for your listeners. It's
excellent.
Conscious 50.
Okay.
And so if you go to freedomfest.com, check out all the stuff, and then click the register now button up at the top, go through the process. You're going to pick regular attendee and do any of the add-ons you want to do, put in your name and address, all that stuff. And on the final page, it'll have a promo code, and just put in conscious 50, and that will take $50 off of your registration. You can bring a guest for a cheaper rate. We have a student rate. We have a young professionals rate. So if you have a younger person, if you're under 30, if you're a student right now, there are rates for you on that. Clearly, we've talked enough.
We have. Well, that's a great point.
It's July 10th through the 13th in Las Vegas. We have hotel rooms at the Harrah's and the Link, which are directly connected to the Caesars Forum. We also have a few rooms over in the Caesars Palace if you want to kind of be fine. And be over there. But I really hope that your listeners will come. I guarantee you will have a phenomenal time, a life-changing experience. You will meet people that make you, that take your life to a new place, that leave you inspired. And if you feel like there's no rhyme or reason to this society and you feel devastated by this election process, you will feel better coming to Freedom Fest. You will feel like there is hope for us all.
And there is
hope. Because of the people who are there. You are not alone. And there are people doing good work. And if we keep coming together and bringing the people that we know get it or can get it, then that's how we can revolutionize and we can all live freer and happier lives, which is the goal for this whole planet. We all need to be living freer and happier lives. And that is our goal. And Freedom Fest is one of the best ways to come together and then launch all these things.
Free, happy. I'll take it. I'll take freedom and happiness all day. Thank you for letting me be a part of the voice of that in July. I am so excited. I'm hoping to reach out to your team and hopefully I can be as contributive as possible, like I said. Thank you again, President and CEO of Freedom Fest. Congratulations again. And we will see you in July. Conscious 50, $50 off any of the packages. I'll reach it out. I hope I have enough of a voice. I'm still working on it. I'm still building. But I will happily be there and I will be absolutely expressing your voice for freedom. Thank you again so much, Valerie. I hope you had a great day. It was so nice meeting you.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet you in person in Vegas.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person as well. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, but I really must say, good night, sweetheart. Good night.